You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics, and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA and a certified financial planner and an accredited estate planner as well. Today is November 7th, 2012. The markets were down today. The Dow closing down at 12,932, the NASDAQ at 2,937, and the S&P closed at 1,394. Last week, we had Rod Young, a certified financial planner, on the show, and he hosted for me. Thank you very much, Rod. And he discussed casualty losses. I really appreciate him doing that. This evening, I have a guest. Dave Elowich is a registered representative of Lincoln Financial Advisors Corporation in Paramus, New Jersey. Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Lincoln Financial Advisors Corp., a broker-dealer member, SIPC, and registered investment advisor. He sells insurance through Lincoln affiliates and other companies. And the same compliance disclosures we had at the beginning of the show are applicable, and those are relating to the Circular 230 disclosures regarding U.S. federal tax advice, etc. So I do have a guest this evening. I apologize for all the disclosures, but that's what we have to do to be compliant with all of our regulators. We are live this evening. If you have questions and you'd like to call in tonight, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Andrea is in the studio. She'll take your calls, answer your write down your questions and bring those into us, and we'll answer your questions as best we can. You can call and ask questions live on air, which is a lot of fun for us. We love having people call in and being able to have the opportunity to talk to you directly. If you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can just call in, give her your question, and she'll bring it in, and we'll do our best to answer the question. So as I mentioned, we have Dave Elowich with us this evening. Dave is a certified financial planner with Elowich 3 LLC. Our topic this evening is approaching retirement planning. What will you be doing and how will you do it? And this is questions we hear all the time. We can never talk about this too much. Approaching retirement planning, what will you be doing and how will you do it? And it's Dave's first time on the show, so I want to give him a big WDIY welcome. Thank you, Dave, for being here this evening.
Thank you very much, Lori. It's good to be here.
Okay. Dave, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a third-generation member of our financial services firm. We use a comprehensive cross-disciplinary approach to work with individuals, families, and business owners to help them with their objectives in the areas of retirement planning significantly, as we're going to talk about tonight. But we also get into estate planning and distribution, wealth management, asset protection strategies, and for the business owners, business ownership planning as well.
Kind of big picture stuff, trying to put it all together. Well, we appreciate you being here. Folks, again, the phone number this evening, 610-758-8810. So, Dave, you help people in planning for retirement, and many, many people will ask when faced with this, will I have enough to retire? That is the typical question, will I have enough to retire? And I know that there is a lot involved in trying to answer that question, and it can be quite painful for people. What do you need to consider when you're looking at if answering that question, I guess?
Well, the first place that I suggest people start, and when we work with our clients, is really looking at some qualitative issues. What do you want retirement to look like? And we really think in terms of a concept, financial independence. That's really the day you're going to work because you want to, not because you have to. And if the stress, if the clients, if the boss just became too much of a hassle, you could say, you know what, I'm going home and I'm not coming back. Because a lot of people, while it's a goal to be able to retire, we see more and more folks that are continuing on even though they don't have to financially. So the question is, how do you get to a point where you can make that decision if that's what you want? Beyond that, the second question is, what is life going to look like in retirement? And this is different for everybody. Is there a trip around the world you've been planning on taking, and do you want to take it? If so, do you plan on staying in five-star hotels or hostels? Do you have kids or grandchildren that you want to spoil? Or what is it really that you want to do? Because those are the questions that need to be answered before you can start to address, what does my pocketbook, what does my bank account need to look like in order to have the resources available for the lifestyle that I want for myself and my family?
Yeah, I like to give people the image of, you know, sitting in a chair and looking at the grass. Or do they want to be sailing the ocean in their yacht? Completely different.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Okay. So when we're looking at those qualitative issues and how people are going to live, a lot of it comes down to then how are they going to be spending maybe the resources they have? And how is that spending pattern going to play out in retirement? As you said, you ask those questions, are they going to spoil the family? Are they going to travel? So when we look at how they're spending money, we also have to look at what money they're going to have available to pay for those expenditures. So let's talk about income streams and, you know, is it that bucket of money they're going to have? Is it, you know, other types of resources like Social Security or pensions? So let's talk about income streams for a little bit, and then some of the risks that are involved with those income streams that people count on. For example, I might say my expenses today are $30,000 and I have an income stream of $30,000. So when we talk about projecting out into retirement, we need to talk about the income stream that someone has and then inflation risk that might apply to that as well. So let's talk about inflation risk for a few minutes.
That is a tremendous issue that to many people is kind of is this concept that's out there. We've heard, you know, you hear people talk about inflation. It's mentioned in the news, but it's not necessarily clear. What is it? How does it apply to me? And basically, the important thing to think about here as you approach retirement is this means the cost of your lifestyle, whatever it is, gets more expensive over time. And over a long period of time, it gets substantially more expensive. So it's easy to think about, in your example, I have a lifestyle that costs $30,000. I can retire tomorrow because I, you know, looking at X, Y, and Z, can create an income stream of $30,000. Well, that might be well and good for the first couple of years. But as inflation creeps in and that $30,000 lifestyle over time will cost $32,000, $34,000, $35,000. And ultimately, it will the cost of doing the things that you want to do, of buying groceries, of going to the store, of you know, just keeping the lights on, gets more and more, and that income stream gets squeezed if there's not a plan in place to make sure that you can at least keep pace with inflation. There's real potential for trouble and danger down the line, and that's one of those things where when we sit with people who say, oh yeah, I've done all the projections and I'm fine on my budget, this is a very easy and very dangerous thing to overlook when you're planning for retirement.
And not to mention that when we talk about inflation, it's not just about how much the cost of milk, you know, has increased, but it could be those areas of their life that today they don't have, for example, healthcare cost. So today you're working, you have insurance, and you go to the doctor, you pay your little copay. And if you have not factored in that when you retire, that kind of expenditure may change. You may no longer have the employer-provided health care. You may be responsible for paying your own health care, or the whole health plan may change. And all of a sudden, where you thought costs were increasing at X rate, you haven't. If you haven't factored in those kinds of expenses, like medical care, long-term care, increased health cost, that's even more than inflation.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, that can have a tremendous impact. And the other piece here, and I didn't mention my business partner is my father, who I've learned just about everything I know in this business from him. And he's always been fond of reminding us that many people forget about this important category of miscellaneous, where we can sit down and the things that are going to be really important in retirement are going to come up may not be imaginable. It may be difficult to kind of foresee where there's going to be strains on the income stream, whether it's for you or there's a family member that you want or need to help out. So it's important to you don't want to, if possible, the income stream should not just match your needs. It should not just match your projected inflation adjustment needs. You want some room for some errors in here and for some additional things along the way to make sure that as you're at a point where you really can't or don't want to be returning to work, you don't have a situation where this fixed income is going to be taxed beyond what you're prepared for.
Okay, folks, we're getting ready to take a break, and I want to continue talking a little bit about what Dave said about miscellaneous and the dangers of miscellaneous. I want to remind everyone I have as a guest this evening Dave Elowich. He's a certified financial planner with Elowich 3 LLC, and we're discussing approaching retirement planning. What will you be doing and how will you do it? If you have any questions for us this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'd love to hear from you. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Hey, it's us, Click and Clack from Car Talk. Is your car so environmentally incorrect that it creates its own ecosystem?
Donate it through the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program.
This station gets the proceeds and you get a tax break.
To find out more, call 866-789-8627.
Car Talk airs Friday night at 6 p.m. and Saturday at 10 a.m. For more information, visit our website at WDIY.org.
Awesome.
And welcome back. Folks, you're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and I have with me a guest in the studio this evening, Dave Elowich. He's a certified financial planner, and we're discussing approaching retirement planning. What will you be doing and how will you do it? And we covered in the first part of the show the question, basically, of will I have enough to retire? I mean, we didn't cover the whole answer. That's the first question, how we started talking. And we talked about when you look at this question, we have to look at what you plan on doing in retirement and then understanding what expenses you might have in retirement and matching that up with your income streams. And is the income stream going to keep up with the expenses that you have? Also taking into account inflation risk. And I had mentioned to Dave that inflation does not apply the same across the board. We might have a 3% inflation on certain kind of household expenses, but then we might be looking at higher inflation rates on things like our medical expenses or tuition. And more people are having children later in life. So the idea of retiring and then having your children in college or grad school and you're trying to pay for them, the expenses may increase more than you had actually planned when you might have done your original projection of about whether you could afford to retire. But we also mentioned, or Dave mentioned, and I got a little chuckle out of it. He said his dad had said, there's always this little category called miscellaneous. But in Dave's example, the miscellaneous was you have to plan for those things that maybe are unimaginable that you don't know are coming. But I also want to highlight here, Dave, for a minute, when people come in for financial planning, don't they always have a category on their budget list that's called miscellaneous? The magic miscellaneous.
More often than not, my clients have the category of, I don't know where this fits. They call it miscellaneous, but for this, it's known. Yeah. And we factor it in.
Yeah.
And that they know that they have a miscellaneous, non-categorizable area of expenses to talk about. But
sometimes the miscellaneous, sorry, Dave, sometimes the miscellaneous is they go to the ATM four times a week and they don't pay attention to what they're spending.
Yes.
That's the miscellaneous. But then when they come in and they're looking at a budget, not to pick on anybody, but this is so critically important to understand when you're doing financial planning that in order for anybody to do a plan and do a good projection, we as advisors have to understand all their expenses. You can't just walk in and say, here's my budget, here's my rent, here's my real estate taxes, here's my house, my mortgage payment, my car payment, here's my food budget. We need to know about miscellaneous, because miscellaneous can be the do or die, the make it or break it, that number. So miscellaneous comes up, yes, later in life for the unimaginable, but it also comes up even in our day-to-day activities when we're not keeping track of those expenses. And frankly, I am not the best budgeter. I probably am not paying attention to all my expenses all the time. Luckily, I can afford to do that. But when you're looking at retirement, these are the kinds of things you have to pay attention to.
I think you're absolutely right. It's both one of the most important, one of the most challenging parts of doing a retirement plan, a financial plan, is coming to an understanding of what is going out the door, what your outflows are. It is difficult unless you're the kind of person who really is logging every expense and keeping close track, and those folks are few and far between. It becomes difficult. So it becomes, I think in all stages of life, incumbent to create mechanisms that are controlling your outflows and understanding what you can spend. And that can be done without having to look at every receipt, understand every time you're going to the ATM, understand every time you buy something at the CVS, where you look at whether this is the checking account that I use for my expenses. It gets this much at the beginning of the month. As long as there's money in there, I get to go out. Right. If there's not, well, then you don't get to go to the movies that week.
Mm-hmm.
It's helpful in the accumulation phase. I would argue it's close to essential during retirement, unless you're fortunate enough to really have substantial resources that you don't need to be paying close attention to this.
That's a great piece of advice, and I hope people grasp what Dave said there. You put X amount of dollars in an account, know that you have this much to spend for the month, and if you've gone beyond that, then you have to cut back on the discretionary spending. So you have to make sure you take care of your non-discretionary expenses first. We did have a caller, Tony, call in with a question, but I think we may be answering it as we kind of go through the flow of the kind of retirement analysis. So the question, Tony, I want to get this question out so you know that we're going to address it, which is, what does Dave think about annuities as an investment to provide a pension-like income stream? Let's talk about predictable income streams first, Dave, and then we could talk about the various ways people can find to help take care of their cash flow in a predictable way in their retirement. So let's talk about first kind of income streams that we typically see with people when they retire.
Well, if I can take a quick step back on that, we were just talking about the importance of budgeting and making sure that you can live on the income stream on your cash flow. When we approach retirement with our clients, we really try to categorize and separate the needs from the wants. And we want to make sure that the needs are covered no matter what. And that
the needs being the non-discretionary.
The non-discretionary, rent, the mortgage if there still is one, the heat, groceries, medicine, Medicare premiums, anything that absolutely is required as a base to live your life, we do not want that at risk at all to the degree that we can accomplish that. That is kind of job one for a retirement plan, to make sure that the needs are matched no matter what, and we're very confident that we're achieving that. And one of the ways that we like to do that is to match predictable income streams with the non-discretionary spending. That is, income streams that can be expected to come in month after month, year after year, for the entire duration of your retirement, so that it will always be there come what may for your needs. And then we think about, well, what are these income streams? And this starts to get to the question. The first that we talk about is Social Security. This it's you get your, when you retire and apply for Social Security, you kind of get, this is your monthly statement, this is what you're going to get.
Assuming you've worked and put in, there's assumptions there, but yes.
Correct. And all those calculations, and you want to make sure that you're looking closely at what you're entitled to and being clear-eyed about what you're going to get. And then for those who are fortunate enough to have a private pension, whether it's with a large company that still has it or some public employees still have them. And these can be tremendous sources of income. And I frequently work with clients who say, oh, my pension's only going to provide me $6,000 a year, $10,000 a year. Now, this is not, and they're right, this is not going to provide for everything that they need in retirement. This is not going to bring the money where it's like, I don't have to worry about anything else anymore. But this, we start piling on top of each other different sources of revenue that you can count on. This is how we start to build the plan of an income stream that will be there for your needs no matter what happens along the way. And that's really kind of where we start.
Okay. Dave, we're going to go to another break. Folks, if you have questions this evening, give us a call. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to the show, and I have with me in the studio this evening my guest, Dave Elowich, a CFP from... Oh, Dave, I just...
Elowich 3, LLC.
I knew it was Elowich 3, but the LLC, I had to remember that piece. So welcome back. If you have questions this evening, give us a call. We're talking about approaching retirement planning. What kind of questions do you have to ask? What do you have to think about? Let's go through the process. The phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. We're getting to answering Tony's question, who had asked, you know, what Dave thought about annuities as part of retirement planning. That's a question that comes up quite often. And Dave, we were just talking about, you know, once someone understands what they want to do in retirement, once they get a grip on how they're going to be spending money in retirement and kind of having an idea of what their retirement cash flow is going to look like as far as budgeting and spending, and looking at predictable income streams such as Social Security or private pensions, which are going by the wayside, being replaced by 401ks. Other predictable income streams may be something like an annuity, which...
An annuity is a product usually offered by insurance companies. I believe there's some banks getting into this now too, where they will say, give us a certain amount of money and we will guarantee an income over a period of time or your lifetime. That's the very basic version. Over time, these have become very complicated is the wrong word. They have added features so that they can achieve multiple things. They can be designed different ways depending on what an individual's objectives are. In the sense of this conversation, they can be used to provide that other piece of the predictable income stream to supplement whatever Social Security and private pension that there, if any, to say, okay, here's the income base. We know that this is a predictable income stream. And in many cases, they do make sense for the right situation for the right individual. And just like just about all the tools at our disposal, they work well for the right individual or family in the right situation.
So it's all about fact-finding and working with an advisor who's going to ask the kinds of questions, and there's all kinds of, you know, rules and regulations around these types of vehicles, just like we have with investments, et cetera.
That's exactly right. And it's important to understand that there are fees associated with these. I don't think that's a reason to run from them. You are paying for a guarantee that can be very helpful. It's important to understand understand what you're getting and what it costs you. And most importantly, how does it fit your goal, your plan, what you're trying to achieve over time? So that's the long answer of saying to Tony's question that these are good solutions for a portion of a portfolio for the right people, and that's something that should be discussed with an individual's advisor to make sure that it is suitable for them.
Okay, so those were some of the options for predictable income streams, and we're going to talk a little bit about the less predictable income streams. But right now we have a caller on line two. We have Steve in New Jersey. Steve, can you hear us? Hello, Steve.
Oh, yeah, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, hi.
Good. Steve, if you're on a cell phone, it may sound like you're breaking up a little bit, so I just want to warn you about that. And then if you have a radio on, just turn that down so that you can hear us without the delay.
Okay.
Are you ready to go with your question?
Sure.
Okay. How can we help you?
I wanted to know what the thought was if Social Security disappears, how does one plan for their future retirement, considering what's been going on in the government and not having terribly good reserves, or theoretically not having terribly good reserves for Social Security in the future?
Well, that is a very timely question in light of where we find ourselves one day after the election. The one thing I would say, people who are planning right now, 60 and over, and probably 50 and over, there has been little, if any, serious suggestion from any realm in the political community that Social Security is not going to be there in some form to be available for them. This is a promise that our country has made, and our leaders, and I believe our population understand that a generation that has approached retirement believing that this is going to be a substantial form of retirement revenue, that we need to provide that's not going to go away. There may be changes. I think that's on the table. COLA adjustments could go down. Payments could go down. So again, that speaks to the point that we got to at the beginning of the show of trying to be very conservative in calculating a retirement income stream and making sure that you're able to weather unsuspected events, such as that income stream dropping a little bit. Now, for people younger than 50 or my generation, I think it is a realistic possibility that Social Security will not look like for us what it does when we retire, what it does today. And it may, the benefit may be reduced. We may have to prepare to live longer. I think we need to be very diligent in saving now and preparing ourselves to get to that point of financial independence without Social Security counting as such a large percentage of it. But for those who are closer, those who 60 or over 10 years to go till retirement or so, I'm quite confident that it will substantially be there intact with the value very, very close to the initial benefit that you'll be entitled to when you apply and get your first statement from the Social Security Administration.
Yeah, Steve, I've heard the same thing from, I have a frequent guest from the Social Security Administration on the show, and he indicates, indeed, as Dave has indicated, that Social Security will be there in some form, some fashion. There may end up being possible means testing at some point in the future. I don't know. Or, maybe changes in the wage thresholds as far as who's paying into Social Security and the amounts to paying into Social Security, because, it caps out at a certain rate, at a certain wage base right now. So, but what happens if Social Security disappears? I would say we have to go with those kind of conservative estimates, because a lot of things could happen. So, when you look through all the different iterations that can happen in financial planning, what you have to do is say, based on this certain set of assumptions, this is, how I want to proceed. And if you really, really are very nervous that something would happen to Social Security, so much so that you're afraid it's going to go away, then in your financial planning, you would have to say to your advisor, guess what? Let's plan for me not having it. And then let's see what this picture looks like. And if that picture indicates that you're going to run out of money at, you know, 75 and you think you're going to retire at 60, then your advisor's going to say, well, guess what? You might have to work till you're 70. So that would be part of your assumptions that you play out when you're doing your financial planning. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay, Steve. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. Have a good night. Folks, we're getting ready to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to look at another question that came in. If you have calls this evening, we'd love to talk to you. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Okay, welcome back, folks. I have in the studio with me this evening Dave Elowich from Elowich 3 LLC. I appreciate him being here. We're talking about approaching retirement planning and what will you be doing when you retire? How are you going to spend money? And can you afford to retire? Those are all the kinds of questions we have to go through, and you have to run calculations and do financial planning. And there are a lot of different iterations, so you kind of have to just, you know, settle yourself down. Otherwise, you're going to stress yourself out completely and say, I have to just pick certain assumptions and say, based on these assumptions, what am I going to project out? Tweak them a little bit. Oh, is it going to work if I go this direction? So we cannot always plan for everything, so we just have to plan the best that we can with the information that we have. Now, we had a call come in from Victor. Thank you, Victor, for calling. Thanks for your message. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to help you, Victor, because the question is, Victor's 65 years old, retiring with savings of $500,000, if I'm reading this correctly, and if he withdraws at a rate of 5% a year, is that enough to last until age 85? Victor, as you may have heard Dave speaking at the beginning of the show, and you may not have been able to listen at the beginning, it's all about planning based on that certain set of assumptions, but we have to know how you spend money. So to have a question, it's very similar to the kinds of questions we get when someone walks in and says, am I going to have enough to retire? Well, we have to ask you about an hour's worth of questions, and you may have to be doing, you know, piles of paperwork to determine whether we can answer this question, if it would last or not. We can't just say, if I said I have $25,000 a year coming in, that may not be enough for me to live on, but it may be enough for my neighbor to live on. It all depends on what our expenses are and what our planned expenses are and what other sources of income that we have. So, Victor, you may be taking some money off your investments. You may have some retirement pension. You may have Social Security. So those are those predictable streams, and maybe the less predictable streams, which Dave and I are going to talk about in just a minute. And this is important then, Victor, to your question, which is, I'm going to take 5% a year off my $500,000. Well, again, I said we have to know your expenses, but we also have to know, is it even realistic that you could take 5% off for $500,000? Because when we're looking at investment portfolio versus some other type of fixed income, it could be a little bit less predictable, Dave. So let's talk about less predictable income streams that might come from our investments.
Sure. This is where we start getting into funding the lifestyle wants, where you've saved so much money for retirement, and you want to use that so that you can create the lifestyle that you desire, that you envision for yourself. Once the needs are covered and we know that you're going to be okay as far as food, shelter, all of that stuff, then it's, well, how much fun do we get to have, and how much does that cost? And here we get into building an investment portfolio that will create an income stream, we hope. But in order, this one way to combat inflation is to participate in the market. But when you participate in the market, you experience the ups and the downs, and you have to be prepared to weather those downs. And there's a few things to do there. That's why these investments, they're at risk. We like to have them funding the wants, because if we have a 2007 in retirement and we need to sit down, when I sit with my clients, I would much rather be talking about, well, you can't spoil the grandkids as much this year, or you're not going to take three vacations. That's a much better conversation than do I pay the electric bill, or do I pay for groceries? So that's really where we look at the less predictable income streams to cover the wants and what you really want to do. And we look at investments that will produce interest and dividend income, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, or real property for a portion. Although that has its own set of risks, that it's always important to be aware of the risks involved when you're creating any investment portfolio, and keeping in mind what are the goals you're trying to achieve, and constructing it so it's well designed with a high likelihood of achieving those goals.
So there's lots of questions that go into any of the decisions that we're talking about tonight. Lots of fact finding that has to be done. Questions about, you know, risk tolerance, timing, as Dave said, you know, if you're retiring at a time when the market's up or down, et cetera. Lots of questions that go into these things.
And the other thing that I would put in there is, if possible, having substantial liquid reserves during retirement, which will allow you to give your portfolio time to breathe if there is a substantial market correction during retirement, where you can reach into these cash reserves rather than draw income, or worse yet, liquidate a portfolio when it's down in value, where you compound the damage that's been done and really hurt your chances of letting it recover, where history tells us, including 2007, a well-balanced portfolio is likely to recover from a correction within 3 years. Historically, that's what happens.
Dave, we have a caller on line one. We have... Oh, I'm sorry. The caller hung up. Oh, we apologize. If you missed us, I apologize. You can always give us a call back. And the number is 610-758-8810. We could still answer this question. And I'll tell you, it's another one of those depends, don't know. What percentage into stocks, bonds, or savings would you advise a person to allocate that's retiring next year? Again, this isn't... You can't find a one-size-fits-all. As we hope we've demonstrated through the show this evening with the questions and kind of the conversation that Dave and I have had, is that everyone's situation is different. That is one of the reasons why I have loved doing this show, is that it's an educational show. And I have often said to folks, it's not about what your neighbor says. It's not about what your neighbor tells you to do. It's not about what they're doing. Each person's situation is different. I'll give a quick little shout out to my mother, who's hopefully listening tonight. Love my mom. She's visiting from Michigan. And my example, and I've said this a number of times on the show, is, you know, friends were saying to her, you have to have a trust. You have to have a trust. Go set up a trust. My mother does not need a trust. And no one should be telling my mother she needs a trust, because they don't know her financial situation. So when people call and ask, what's the percent to allocate? You know, you always hear rules of thumb. I've had shows where we have talked about rules of thumb where people say, oh, at this age you should be 60-40 and 40-60 and 50-50. It's very difficult even to talk about rules of thumb when we're talking about people's investment decisions, because age may have nothing to do with their financial life or how they spend money, how they save money, or the assets they have. Do you agree?
I agree completely. Really coming to an answer of how to allocate an investment comes from, what are the objectives and what are the resources available to reach them? So it would be very different if you're talking about a pool of money that is intended to provide for those needs that we've discussed. But if there is an income stream available, and this is extra money or money for for the more fun things in life, and you have a higher risk tolerance, you might be able to have a higher equity position within your portfolio. But it really all depends on the situation and understand, like, stemming from an understanding of what are your goals, what do you want your lifestyle to look like when you stop working, and how do you make those resources that you have available help you get there? And an important question is, can they help you get there? A difficult conversation that some people may have to have with their advisor or themselves is, well, the resources are not there to do what I want to do. I may need to work a little longer. I may need to lower my sights about what life is going to be available for me.
And the beauty of financial planning is being in front of that decision. You know, making the decision, I want to retire at 55. At 55, it may not go well. So if you're in front of that, and at age 50, if you have a very aggressive goal of retiring at 55 in this day and age when we're living to 90, at least you could start planning a little bit. I want to mention a couple things, touch on that Dave had said. We always talk about emergency reserves. That is very important. And we talk about 3-month emergency reserves, 6-month emergency reserves. That's very important to have for those kinds of expenses that might come up in the short term, some kind of one-off. Dave had also mentioned something when you're talking about retirement and having maybe some other type of cash reserve or some other kind of stash of income, that if there is some very unusual expenditure that you know you're going to have, you know, maybe 4 years, 3 years, a big wedding, a big upgrade in a house. There's nothing wrong with kind of earmarking not just a 3 or 6 month set of reserve, but earmarking a piece of your portfolio, which is what I think he was trying to say, a big kind of cash reserve. And I'm not saying it has to be cash. I mean, C-A-C-H-E, cash, meaning, you know, you earmark a piece of the portfolio for some big expenditure that you know you may have in the next 2 or 3 years. It doesn't always just have to be your 3 or 6 month reserve. You might want to protect some of part of your portfolio for that big expense you know you're going to have. So that's one thing. But back to a little bit about our caller, and I didn't mean to disregard him in his question about what percent to do, you know, into stocks, bonds, etc., as far as asset allocation. When we talk about risk tolerance, we're also talking about asset allocation and different ways that people can, you know, try to get returns from their investments and the importance of asset allocation. So while we're not going to say a specific percent for a specific age in equities or bonds, let's talk about the benefits of asset allocation in general, Dave.
Well, basically, when you look at types of investments, specific types of investments will respond to market conditions, market forces differently than other types of investments. And on a general basis, this is why it's advisable for a portfolio to have some of each of these kinds of investments, so that if something comes that really hits the equity or the large American equity portion of your portfolio, you have other assets that may do well in that environment, whether it's international or smaller companies or smaller cap investments.
Something that acts different.
Correct. And also the fixed income or the bond portion of your portfolio. So that as volatility is not going away, the market is going to be up, it's going to be down. It's a very emotional market that we're seeing. I don't see that changing anytime in the near future. But what you can do with a portfolio is make sure that you're exposed to many different asset classes where you're looking at an appropriate risk level or an appropriate level of volatility that you can expect. None of this is guaranteed. This isn't an approach that's going to guarantee returns or ensure you don't have losses, but it can help smooth the ride. And then the other piece that can be overlaid on this in a very rational way, taking emotion out of the investing process, is regular rebalancing. And what this does is this actually can help you take advantage of volatility in the market, so that as certain certain asset classes have underperformed, and other asset classes have overperformed, and you look at your portfolio every 6 months or every year, it may be out of alignment. The allocation may no longer match what is prescribed by your risk tolerance and your time horizon. You rebalance to that to the allocation that you've created on your own or with your advisor. And what you're doing is these assets that have performed very well, you're selling high, which is the goal, and you're buying into those assets that have not performed, and you're buying them low, which is also the goal. And if you have structured a portfolio that you have faith in where it is strong investments within these asset classes, there's every reason to believe that this strategy will help you perform over time. It will help smooth out the ride. And it will help you recover from downturns. And it can be very beneficial. But what I really like about it is it takes the emotion away from the investing. We have a rationale behind what we're doing. We have a goal of where we're trying to get to. And we are not freaking out every time we hear the next news line or news headline of some bad news in the market and another one of those days where we're up or down 1%.
I want to stress that it's very important what Dave just said. We're going to continue and reiterate what he said when we come back from the break. If you have questions this evening, we still have plenty of time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We're talking about approaching retirement planning. We'll be back in just a second.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk and traditional music is a crazy quilt of colors and textures. In the tradition traces its many patterns and designs. Music handed down from generation to generation. In the tradition, Wednesday evening at 7 on WDIY FM Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.
Welcome back, folks. We are talking with Dave Elowich, Certified Financial Planner from Elowich 3 LLC. We're talking about approaching retirement planning. And I'm your host, Lori Siebert. Thank you for staying with us and listening to the show. The phone number, if you have questions this evening, is 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. And right before the break, we were talking a little bit about asset allocation. And Dave had mentioned something I just want to reiterate here, that it all starts... this whole financial planning process with lots of questions. We have to talk about how you're going to spend money, what kind of money income streams you're going to have. We talk about your risk tolerance, and there's questions around that, and then what kind of investments you have. And one of the things when you're looking at investments, if you do indeed have investments, because sometimes people are in retirement and they're relying totally on Social Security. Some people are in retirement and relying totally on Social Security and maybe some small pension. So it doesn't always mean that you have investments, but let's say you do. And we talk about asset allocation, where you're investing in different types of investments, whether it's bonds or stocks. And then there's all kinds of different categories within equities and bonds. But Dave was talking about setting up basically like a portfolio, a model that you follow, that with your advisor or on your own, you have said, I like how this is allocated. What this is not putting all your eggs in one basket, to put it simply. And let's pretend, you know, you're having a party and you buy, you know, a cola and you buy a fruit drink and you buy caffeinated beverages and you buy milk. You buy all these different beverages to make sure, you know, you have everybody covered. And people will drink different amounts. I'm going way off crazy on this example. But when we're talking about asset allocation, we're talking about kind of spreading out this risk a little bit, going into different categories, because people are going to react or the market's going to react differently to the different categories. But the beauty of trying to find the best in this is doing this rebalancing that Dave mentioned. You kind of have to go back and revisit what you first bought, what you first got into, because they may change. They may go up. Someone's going to drink all the cola. Well, now you have to go get more cola. So this, the idea in rebalancing is if you don't ever go revisit it, it's not going to work as well for you. So when you talk about rebalancing and you see one piece of your portfolio goes crazy and it goes up and up and up and it's making tons of money, your instinct is going to be, I don't want to sell that because it's going crazy and it's doing so great. And then you see this other loser in your portfolio and you think, well, gosh, I don't want to buy any of that. Well, it doesn't mean you're always going into the same positions. So when we talk about rebalancing, you could be selling high something and going into something low. It doesn't mean you're going to necessarily go look for a loser. You might go look for something that is underperforming for whatever reason. It could be that cyclical stock or something like that, that you would then take your gain in one category and buy something that's low in another category. Buy high, sell low. It's a very difficult concept for many people to embrace. And when Dave said rebalancing will get you there and it takes the emotion out of it, it's amazing how many times people are still emotional about it. And I'm sorry to go on so long, but you know what? I only had 4 hours of sleep, folks. So you have to be patient with me. My creative side goes out. My brain goes all different kinds of directions. We did have a call come in from Dave, and he asked, if I retire at 63, what can I do about insurance until I turn 65? Now, Dave, you didn't ask exactly which kind of insurance. I'm assuming it's medical insurance because you mentioned the magic age of 65, which tells me that's probably Medicare that you're talking about. So if you retire at 63 and you have to go out and look for, you know, a plan that you're going to have to pay for on your own because maybe you don't have one through your employer, you could look for different options. I imagine ARP is a resource that you could go look at, AARP, and see what kinds of recommendations they might have. There would be some independent medical insurance plans out there, I imagine. You could always check to see if you have available to you any kind of group coverage available through any professional organizations that you may be associated with. Sometimes I see people get very decent coverage from different group plans they might have through, you know, legal or medical or something like that. So you just want to kind of go out there and find. Dave, do you have any ideas for that?
Well, I would just say that this is a great question because this is definitely the kind of thing that you want to plan for and address before the retirement party. You do not want to be, you know, a week out of work and say, oh, jeepers, now I need to go get insurance and I don't know how much it costs because it can be very expensive.
Yeah, like $10,000, $12,000, folks. It's not cheap.
And this is an area, and getting the resources or the help here from AARP or a broker could be very beneficial, especially in this environment, because this is something that I think we're going to see substantial change over the next 2 to 5 years as the new healthcare law comes into play and has an impact. And in light of the results last night, there's every reason now to believe that Obamacare will be fully implemented.
And I can't predict what that is yet because I haven't studied it enough to know yet. So hopefully this is a great question. That'll be a topic for another show that we can cover
and
as well.
I'll just make one point on that. I was at an event with the Chamber of Commerce and we had brought in the gentleman. He had been an insurance commissioner in Pennsylvania and he had worked for Health and Human Services helping to write part of the regulations. And he did not know exactly what this was going to look like as it comes into play. So there's a lot of moving parts in here, some uncertainty and definitely an area to get some guidance and help to make sure you understand what your expenses are, what your options are, and making sure you're paying good attention to it.
So thank you, caller. Thanks, Dave, the caller, for calling in. We appreciate it. There's probably still a couple minutes left. If you have a question, we'll probably squeeze one more in, 610-758-8810. There's lots of issues in retirement planning, and we've talked about expenses. We've talked about predictable income streams. We've talked about less predictable income streams. There are income tax ramifications to all of your choices, as well as income tax ramifications to your cash flow, to your investments, to drawing money out of your investments, whether it's just your non-qualified kind of taxable accounts or your IRA accounts. There are taxes that are related to this as well. We're not going to have time to discuss that tonight because I wanted to talk about one of the biggest expenses, Dave, that we see in retirement planning that people cannot always imagine and cannot always predict, but it's looming out there, and that is long-term care. So what are you telling people about long-term care?
Well, this is a huge issue. This is something, and it's one of the challenges in our industry, because there are things that clients want to talk about. They want to talk about that vacation or that yacht or spoiling the kids and how are we going to do that. They do not want to talk about their health failing them or needing assistance to live their lives. And just as the vacation is hopefully a reality, this, I wouldn't say hopefully, but this may be a reality too. You know, I've seen studies where you have couples where both are healthy 65-year-olds. There's a 60% chance that at least one of them is going to need care either in home or in a facility as they age. And this is very expensive. And the question is, how do you plan for it? Because if these expenses come in, now these income streams, these assets that are doing the things that you've planned for need to be redirected to pay for your care. And if you don't have a plan in place to cover it, that can be very difficult to absorb. And there are a number of options that are out there. You can self-insure. You can look at this and say, I have a plan where I'm going to pay for those expenses. In that case, it's wise to kind of enumerate that plan as part of your retirement planning and really identify those assets and kind of segregate them. They're here if I need them for this. They are not here to go have fun with, as tempting as that may be. There are also opportunities to transfer this risk to an insurance company through the traditional long-term care policies where you pay a premium, and these can be substantial, but they will then pay expenses if you have a need. Because of the expense of those policies, many people choose to kind of do a combination. They say, I'm comfortable paying this much premium in my retirement budget, and the insurance company will cover a certain portion, and I know that I'm on the hook for the rest. Or if you have a married couple, you say, okay, the insurance company will cover the first spouse that has a need, so that if one becomes unhealthy before the other, the healthy spouse still can stay in the home and live their life while caring for their partner. People who have educated themselves and looked at this and been reading about it will probably have seen there's been a lot of change in this market, in the insurance market for long-term care recently, for a number of reasons. I don't think we quite have the time to go through it. But in response to and what's happened, they've become more expensive. The features have become diluted. They're not as attractive as they once were, although they still may have their place. So there are now hybrid policies which look at ways to layer long-term care benefits on top of a life insurance policy. And this is an area where if the intention is to do the planning and to transfer some of the risk off of your balance sheet, it makes sense to educate yourself about what's out there or work with a knowledgeable practitioner who can really navigate the market of what's available. But most importantly, and this has been kind of a recurring theme, make sure it fits your situation. These, just like everything else, are very situational. They depend on the objectives. They depend on what you're trying to achieve. And with an understanding of what you're trying to achieve and your goals and resources that are available, then you can match that up to the options that are out there and build a plan to make sure that you're protected from this.
And again, it's about also being proactive about it, which is how I end every show, talking about being proactive, because the time to plan is not when you need the care.
That's absolutely at that point, it's too late. There's nothing that I can do to help someone at that. Well, I wouldn't say nothing, but the options are much worse and far more limited at that point.
Okay, Dave, I'm going to give you a minute to kind of recap your thoughts from tonight. My message always is education, and I believe that's yours as well. So in a minute, what can you tell the listeners that you'd like them to take away from tonight's show?
Remember to keep inflation in mind. This is one of the most often overlooked and serious dangers in retirement planning. You want to try to be as rational and thoughtful in putting this plan together so that you're not being driven by emotion or reacting to situations, but putting a plan in place that will help you get where you're going. And that it you will benefit. It makes sense to start thinking about and envisioning What do you want retirement to look like? What's the life you want to create for yourself? So you can start to think about what do you need to do to get there and where are you comfortable making changes or compromises and what really is non-negotiable for you.
Very good. Dave, thanks so much for being here. How can people reach you if they'd like to?
I'm available by email at david.elowitch@lfg.com. Elowitch is spelled E-L-L-O-W-I-T-C-H, or they can call me 267-240-9736.
Dave, thanks so much for being here. It was fun to have you. I appreciate it. Jeff, thank you for being here. Andrea, thank you for taking the calls. Listeners, stay tuned to In the Tradition with Tom Druckenmiller, where he plays delicious folk music. I want to let everyone know that next week will probably be a pre-recorded show. So I apologize for not being here again next week. We have a pre-recorded show. I'm going to be in Chicago at a conference, having lots of fun, I hope. So remember, folks, pay attention. Be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great 2 weeks. Good night.